It's time for JT the Brick on Fox Sports Vegas.
Raider Nation, what's up?
Here's the deal. The Raiders are coming. I live in Vegas.
Carr looks right. Touchdown, Roberts.
I'll say this. We're not tanking anything.
I will have John Gruden's back every bleeping day.
It's easier said than done.
Because that's what real fans do.
I hear the hatred out there.
It is always darkest before the dawn.
People are trying to divide us.
I will be here every day for John Gruden. Win or lose.
I'm just telling you, when this whole thing's all said and done, in my guess, Super Bowl or two wouldn't surprise me.
When this turns, and it will, the silence will be deafening.
We're not getting up at 4 o'clock in the morning to tank.
Do I want the Raiders to win? Hell yeah.
Raider Nation, what's up?
We are going to get this thing back on track.
And now, here's JT the Brick. Oh.
Great to have you, JT, as we wrap up an incredible week with our friends at PT's, owned by Golden Entertainment. As they own the Strat, formerly the Stratosphere, Sierra Gold, Sean Patrick's, the SG Bar, where I had lunch today, and we're ready today. John Gruden, head coach of the Raiders, momentarily, stick around for that. Game night for the Golden Knights, as the Golden Knights are trying to keep this thing moving. A big game against the Jets. It is a rivalry game, both of these teams familiar. They don't like each other. An opportunity to talk about the Fortress and talk hockey. We had Gary Lawless in studio yesterday from the Knights broadcast team, and we gave away a pair of tickets and had a really good day yesterday. The phones were rocking. Hockey fans were everywhere. We really appreciate that. What we're trying to do here is build a flagship radio station for hockey and give you a little bit more coverage than you're going to get around town. And it was fantastic. The Golden Knights came in. We had Sage Salmon, guys from behind the scenes, and they really appreciate what we're doing, and we can't thank them enough for getting us players, coaches coming up, and obviously the broadcast team, which is special. Jackson Murphy will join us in about 40 minutes. He's a young kid who is a famous movie critic. He started with Regis Philbin when he was 8-9 years old. Regis discovered him. Now I think he's in college. He's 18 or 19. I'll double check. He's a SAG member. He's voting on the Academy Awards, all these votes. He's coming in. We're going to do an Academy Award preview. I love the movies. I watched Star is Born for the second time last night with my wife. I thought the picture was fabulous. A lot of good movies out there. We'll talk to him. Tommy White, down at the stadium from the 872 Laborer, has been snowing. How does that affect the stadium construction? We'll hear from him a little bit later on in the show. And then the breaking news today, which is a monster. New England Patriots owner Robert Kraft facing charges of misdemeanor solicitation of prostitution after he was twice videotaped paying for a sex act at a massage parlor in Jupiter, Florida. What? Are you kidding me? He's 77 years old, 25 people involved, indictments, a sting. They had cameras inside. People are walking in. Everybody's talking about this today. And we'll get into this, but these two misdemeanor counts are serious. He was not arrested, but a warrant will be issued. His spokesperson categorically denies any illegal activity. So coming from Kraft, who's not speaking, they out of the Patriots are denying all of this. And also the NFL is aware and monitoring the case and the developments there. It looks like he's dead to rights on this, period. Went in, frequented it more than once. They got him on camera. He's in there. The transaction's going down, and 25 other people got popped. So I don't know how good his attorneys are. And what happens here is they're tying this to sex trafficking. And what happens in America, it happens in all corners of this country, is that people who frequent these establishments, they're going there for a certain act. But what happens is they get involved with a total sting, and there's someone there who's not supposed to be there, a girl who's underage. There's someone here who doesn't have immigration issues tied up, and they get lumped into that. Is Robert Kraft involved with the ring that has to do with sex trafficking? Probably not. I would say guaranteed he's not involved. But the issue becomes, if you're there and they find out that there's a bunch of girls who are underage or aren't supposed to be there, and they find out that they were brought to this country and they were used in sex trafficking crimes, and Robert Kraft used this place, he's done. Now, what could be done here is he could lose his Hall of Fame eligibility. He's 77. He's ready to go to the Hall of Fame. Jerry Jones went. Pat Bowlen's going in now. Robert Kraft can go in next year. Kick that down the curb. But he's a guy also who has a really big reputation in the league. As I tweeted out earlier today, he's done a lot of good. He's hired thousands of people, not hundreds, thousands of people in his life and has done good. He made a tragic mistake that will live with his legacy. And that's what happens when you make mistakes like that. So we'll talk about that. We'll get into the Golden Knights a little bit later on. If you want to get in before Coach Gruden, 876-1340 is the number. I'm on Twitter at JT the Brick. I'm on Facebook at JT the Brick. The NBA is back in business. We'll get into that. Manny Machado had his press conference earlier today. Bryce Harper, a Las Vegas resident, is still not signed, which I find shocking. Shocking that it's Friday and we don't have that, so we're going to have to wait for next week. But let's begin the show with the head coach of the Silver and Black as the Raiders and many members of the organization head to Indianapolis for the Combine. We welcome John Gruden to the show. Coach, thanks for coming on. Really appreciate it.
Hey, great to hear your voice again, JT.
Always good to hear from you, Coach. Coach, I want to start with you with the hiring of Mike Mayock, the Senior Bowl. Talk about that whole transition, how Mike is fitting in, and the chemistry you had at the Senior Bowl.
Well, Mike and I go way back. A long time ago, I was offensive coordinator of the Philadelphia Eagles back in 1995, 96. I met Mike Mayock back then. He's had a real impact on me in terms of studying players, his passion for football. And I think he's the perfect guy at the perfect time for this franchise. He's got a tremendous work ethic. He's really on top of players, and he loves studying them. He's got great leadership skills. He's setting a tone here in our building with his work ethic, and I think the two of us have been getting along great. And it's just nice to have a guy that you grew up with that have the same philosophical beliefs in terms of football and building this franchise.
Coach, there's so many different qualities and different young players coming into the league. The similarities between the players that you both liked in the past and how you're open to suggestions if he has a different style of player coming into the system.
Yeah, no, we're both flexible, and I think you got to be able to adapt to the way the game is being taught in high school and college. Those are the players that are coming into the NFL now. A lot of these guys are not fifth-year seniors. They're third-year juniors. They haven't gone through spring practice. So you have to be able to develop guys better now, I think, than you ever did before. And a lot of these guys are still growing up. They're not full-grown men yet. So you got to keep a lot of things into consideration, but you have to be creative. I think you got to be able to see a couple years down the road as you look at a lot of these prospects because they are 20, 21 years old.
Coach, you said at the Senior Bowl you're putting away all the prototypes you once had. Quote, we're looking for guys who can play and do a lot of different things, and they come in all shapes and sizes nowadays. I want to spend a moment on that, on a player like Kyler Murray who's small or more athletic outside. Pass rusher, again, players are different. They're different style of players, size, strength, and especially arm strength at quarterback. Can you elaborate from your years with Drew Brees and now what you're seeing with Patrick Mahomes, the new style of quarterback that is coming into the league?
Yeah, no doubt. I was asked a question, you know, if I have a certain belief about a quarterback size, and I said, no, not anymore. Drew Brees gave us problems in Tampa. He's still giving teams problems today. Russell Wilson is one of the hardest quarterbacks to defend. He's under 6 feet tall. And, you know, when you look around, you see Kyler Murray at Oklahoma in 1 year as a starter. He tore college football up running and passing. And he's like watching a video game, JT. He runs 4.3, and he's got a cannon for an arm. And you can't deny his overall athleticism. He's a top five pick in Major League Baseball. Might be one in football. That's hard to say.
Yeah, and I appreciate you commenting on him because you, Cliff Kingsbury, other individuals in the draft are going to be asked about particular players, including Nick Bosa, guys who are supposed to go in the first few picks, Coach, and then maybe someone that could jump into the first round. Now in the AFC West, you have Joe Flacco in a trade who's won a Super Bowl, Rivers, a future Hall of Famer, Carr's played at such a high level, and Mahomes, the reigning MVP, the ability of the quarterback position in the AFC West and what you're going to be game planning and looking at in the next couple of years.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And, you know, fortunately, we have some draft choices. We've got four picks in the top 35. We've got a couple number one picks next year. We're in transition. We're moving to Las Vegas a year from now. We have a lot of issues that we have to address on this football team. And not only taking a look at how our quarterback can play better, possibly adding a receiver, another back, another lineman, a tight end. How do we get after Mahomes? How do we get after Rivers and Flacco? We got to obviously improve our defense at all three levels, the defensive line, the linebacking core, and in the secondary, and that's a tall order for us.
And, Coach, you've talked about those one-year free agent contracts in the past and now the Tier 1 free agents. How difficult it is to go out and get those players if they're not franchise tagged. It costs money. They got to be a fit for your system. With you and Mike Mayock, how important is exploring the potential free agents that eventually could come to the Silver and Black?
Well, that's what we've been doing the last 10 days. We have been doing nothing but studying free agents, guys that's contracts are up. Obviously, we're not looking to add players that are at the end of their career. We're looking for blossoming young players. Those guys usually don't get the free agency. So the pickings are slim for everybody, but there are a couple diamonds in the rough. We'll see where the market goes, but you don't want to spend all your money that you have on a few free agents. You want to try to keep some of that money available in case a trade might develop during the draft.
John Gruden's our guest, so I know obviously the fans know you can't talk about other players under contract, but when it comes to trades or free agency, but especially trades, number 24 or number 28 in the first round, could those picks be in play for the right player?
Yeah, I think so. I think there's a lot of potential for trades, and I think that's one of the things I'm really excited about, Mike Mayock, what he brings to the table. He's got great resources around the NFL. He's been in every building. He's on a first-name basis. Everybody knows Mike. And I think he's going to be on the phones quite a bit, not only with those two picks you talked about. Who knows? We may move up with number four pick. We may move back with that pick. We'll see how it all unfolds.
Your preparation for the Combine, different from the Senior Bowl. And, Coach, I want to jump in and talk about the five new coaches. What is it like time commitment for you in the offseason recently when you're bringing in new coaches, you're losing coaches because there's so much turnover in this league and other owners are trying to build staffs. Head coaches are looking for other coaches. How do you protect your coaches and then look out there and look to upgrade the staff?
Well, we try to improve every aspect of our football every year, not only the roster, the plays we call, the drills that we run, but the coaching staff. And we're very proud of Brian Callahan, who left here to become the offensive coordinator of the Bengals. We lost Derek Ansley, our cornerbacks coach, to the University of Tennessee to become the defensive coordinator. You know, we feel a lot of pride seeing guys advance in this business. But we are really excited to get Kirby Wilson back as our running back coach. He was with me in Tampa when we won the Super Bowl. He has been with the Pittsburgh Steelers. He's coached Adrian Peterson and Le'Veon Bell and David Johnson in Arizona, so it'll be a great resource for us. And Johnny Morton was with me when I was here the last time. We brought him back to replace Callahan, and he'll do an excellent job. He's been with the New Orleans Saints. He's been the coordinator of the Jets. And we added Brenston Buckner, a really good defensive line coach who had been with Arizona and Tampa. And we have to prove it, but I think we got better.
We've talked in the past about your respect for Bill Belichick and the way the Patriots have built this dynasty, but your relationship with Sean McVay is so important as you were a mentor to him. What was it like for you watching the Super Bowl in that low-scoring game?
Yeah, it was cool. You know, I was really excited for that game. You know, a few years ago, the Patriots played the Rams, and no one thought the Patriots could win. I don't think anybody gave the Patriots a chance this year. You got to credit Bill Belichick and the job that his staff has done with all the turnover, the rules changes, et cetera. But I am very proud of McVay, and several of those coaches on the Rams go way back with me. And hopefully we can do battle with those guys better than we did in the opener this year.
We're wrapping up with John Gruden. I was thinking about you and Coach Gunther on Super Bowl Sunday because the Patriots looked, and they got good players, and there's a few Pro Bowlers, but it's almost like a no-name defense compared to star-studded defenses we've seen. And, Coach, they put together a scheme and a coaching plan that worked on Super Bowl Sunday, leading me to believe that with free agency and draft picks and rebuilding on the defensive side, if you can get players to buy into your system, your defensive scheme, you don't have to have elite players at every single position. The scheme and the production can come in place if you get better players.
No, but you know, and I know, you got to have really good players on all three levels that play really good together. And One thing New England has been able to do is they've acquired versatile guys that can play a 4-3, they can play a 3-4, they can play in a sub package. I mean, Dante Hightower, Trey Flowers are ultimate hybrid players. Devin McCourty can play free safety, can play nickel or corner. Patrick Chung can play linebacker or safety. And there's others on that defense. Van Noy came over from Detroit, does multiple things. They're smart, they're into it, they're well-coached, and they don't get hurt. They somehow stay healthy, and that's a credit to them also.
Le'Veon Bell is a hybrid to the 10th degree. Out of the backfield is a runner. When you look for offensive players, Coach, what's changed since your Super Bowl in Tampa and now the evolution of offense? Quarterbacks running outside the pocket, getting the ball out quicker, the slot receiver, and the ability to attack downfield, because you love guys who can do multiple things, especially running backs.
Yeah, no doubt. We've always believed in that. People are stretching the field unlike they used to. The Raider teams of years past, you heard Al Davis say, we got to push it vertical, JT. Now they're stretching the field horizontally. They make you defend every blade of grass with these bubble screens, quick screens, RPOs. The tight end is rarely attached to the line of scrimmage. There's not as many conventional two-back sets. More and more shotgun one-back, no-back sets than I've ever seen before. And they're trying to create one-on-one matchups in space. And when you have running backs and tight ends and receivers that can line up multiple places and catch the ball and make people miss, you become formidable, especially if you get the right quarterback and the right group up front to protect them.
They're no longer rookie tackles. Brandon Parker, Colton Miller, your expectations of their preparation this offseason, what you need from them coming into this year?
Well, we think Colton Miller is going to be a great player, not a good one. I think he's got a chance to be a Pro Bowl left tackle. He's got to stay healthier than he has in years past. He's going to get stronger because he works hard. And I'm glad to hear that my friend Brandon Parker is in Mississippi. He's living with Gabe Jackson. He's getting stronger every day, and I know he's eating right if he's with Gabe Jackson. So we expect these two young guys to show dramatic improvement. That's what second-year players do. You know, they get over the rookie-itis, and they come back in physically ready to go. They know the drill. They're not challenged by the travels and the competition. They'll show a lot more poise, I think, and overall skill level when they show up here in March.
Coach, I love the career you had as a broadcaster. You get a chance still at Silver and Black Productions to go behind the camera there. But what is it like when your buddy, your colleague, you got one in Mike Mayock who did great on TV, but Mel Kiper Jr. is picking your draft. He's got your first round, all three defensive players. He's thinking about quarterback. He's a good friend of yours. You were great together with chemistry. When you hear that chatter in the background, what do you think?
You know what? I just turn on ZZ Top or AC/DC. I don't listen to nothing. I don't really listen to any mock drafts. You know, Kiper's going to have 147 mock drafts at ESPN between now and the draft, and I used to make fun of him for that. But no one can lock anybody into who we're picking right now because we don't even know, trust me.
Do you still hold on to those old binders you had back in the day? I know you have all the old tapes down in Florida still and in Oakland. What about that?
I do, you know, yeah. And they tell me in the new facility in Las Vegas, you'll love this, they're creating an archive room where, you know, we can keep all of the old Raider tape, VCR games that Mrs. Davis kept, a lot of the old practice films from the 80s and 90s and 2000 for future Raider fans and coaches to go back and look at. And we're really proud of, obviously, the tradition of the Raiders, but we're very well aware we got to fix the recent tradition. We've had one winning season in the last 16 seasons, and it's repulsive, and we got a long way to go, but we're going to get there, man.
And no comments on Oakland again. I know how much you love Oakland and the opportunity, even though it's negotiated above you and with the city and around the league with Goodell's comments there. You're an Oakland guy wanting to play another season in Oakland.
Well, we want to finish. You know, I think that's all you can ask for as a football player or a coach, finish. You know, don't just do the job halfway done. Get the job done. Go all the way through the line, not to the line. And if we have 1 year left in Oakland, we're going to give it everything we've got. And we're also very excited for obvious reasons about our future in Las Vegas. But we're going to focus on one day at a time. And we're happy to be in Oakland, and we're going to give it everything we got.
I always end with the same question, Coach. Your message to the Raider Nation, the global Raider Nation.
Well, we have the best fans in the world, and what a great opportunity to prove it. We've got three first-round draft choices. You know, stay with us. You know, keep sending your recommendations. I get a lot of mail, and I appreciate the support. And I also appreciate the criticism and the advice. So let's all stay together, and let's rally around the Raiders. It's a great brand, and it's going to keep getting better.
Good luck at the Combine, Coach. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks, JT. See you later.
Appreciate it, Coach. John Gruden, head coach of the Silver and Black. So there he is. He's off to the Combine. The Raiders are going there. I think they get a head start, as he talked about, the Senior Bowl, working with Mike Mayock, bringing in Mike Mayock at the right time so Mayock would be ready at the Senior Bowl as the new GM of the Silver and Black and ready for the Combine. So spent a lot of time on the chemistry between the GM and the head coach and how they're going to work together. He did say that it is in play. The 24th and 28th pick are in play for a trade. It could be. Even number four. We'll see what happens. He addressed Kyler Murray and his ability to make plays outside the pocket and what he could do. And I think, you know, everybody's going to say, what is Gruden's focus this year? I asked him about Oakland. He's an Oakland guy. With all due respect, that's the first time Bobby was smiling, shaking his head during this. He mentioned Vegas twice. I don't mention Vegas because that's streaming live in Oakland right now, and I make sure I don't use this platform that I have in Vegas to talk about a team that's not here yet. He brought it up twice, that he's excited about this new facility and what they're going to have with that new room with the tape, and then clearly the excitement of the organization coming. So John Gruden is trying to put this thing back to the way he would like, and from the initial meetings that I've had with him, since he's come back to the team, starting up in Napa last year, I didn't realize instantly how much work he had to do. He's breaking this team down to only build it, as he said, for the respect that he has for the Patriots and that type of model. He wants that type of model. He would not have been able to keep that model if he spent all his money on Carr and Mack. He couldn't. Now, I'm not saying he would have won more games with Mac. We know that. But the model in general needed to be a model of breaking down the roster and building it in his liking. I think what Raider fans should be really excited about is this Mayock connection. Because if Gruden came on and Coach was just on here and there was no Mike Mayock, and I'm a Reggie McKenzie fan as he landed in Miami, good for Reggie, we'd be looking at a situation where it'd be Gruden and his staff, which I respect, going into the combine and the draft. Now we have Mike Mayock adding to that, which gives me confidence that they're going to go after the right players for the scheme. They might be sitting there and get the best player available. That could happen. At number four, the best guy on the board, they take him. But when you get to 24, 28, 35, all those other picks, Mayock and Gruden are going to say, that guy's the best, but the guy two behind him fits our scheme and what we're trying to do long-term in Oakland and when we get to Vegas. That's what I'm going to be watching for the most. I want to know what the scheme is and the plan for the type of Mayock-Gruden hybrid player that he brought up, the hybrid. Le'Veon Bell, who I mentioned to him, is that hybrid. You get Le'Veon Bell in the backfield, and your dreams are set. You don't have to think anymore. You got Le'Veon Bell. You can hand it off to him on first and second down. You can pass it to him on third down. But is Le'Veon Bell going to want to come to a scenario where the Raiders are in some form of a rebuild as they try to move to the next level? Don't know. And he can't comment on Antonio Brown. He's under contract with the Steelers. That would be tampering. But there's no doubt that he said the back end of that first round can be used for trades. It's just my opinion. I wouldn't trade. I'd just take those first three round picks and take the best three defensive players there, like Mel Kiper said. And he laughed about that, Mel Kiper in his draft. But I think that's the way to go for the Raiders. Take a bunch of defensive guys in the first and second round, rebuild the defense, and get a free agent, high profile on the offensive side, either a receiver or a Le'Veon Bell type player, and then go out there with the players that they have left. Nobody knows who Gruden wants, right? We don't know the quarterback long term. I think he loves Carr. They love each other. They get along great. No one knows for sure, other than the gentleman I just interviewed, what he's going to do. But he's got the full confidence of owner Mark Davis. And even though some of the confidence is swayed from some fans because of the record last year, I've never had his back more, knowing that he's the only way, football wise, this team can become great again. Not good. He didn't come here to be good. He didn't come here for 8-8, 9-7. And I have a vision of a new stadium off the strip in Vegas where Gruden is coaching for years to come, and the Raiders are taking shots at Super Bowls. Hope it happens. We'll be talking about it. Thanks to John Gruden as the Raiders are heading out. Really appreciate Will Kiss, the head of their PR, for making that happen. We'll talk to Tommy White and Jackson Murphy coming up in a bit.
And I know we're going to argue about some guys, and I can't wait. I mean, because it really comes down to, what do you think? You've watched all this tape. What do I think? And let's get to the right answer for the Oakland Raiders. Right? It doesn't have to be your guy or my guy. Let's get the right answer.
Mike Mayock, new GM. We should have him on, I would think, next week from the Combine. But we'll get him on coming off the Combine and ready for the draft. There's a lot of draft coverage going on in Vegas, from talking to the Raiders and what they're planning on doing coming up here in Vegas with draft parties and all that. But the dedication is also to the fans in Oakland, depending on what happens and the announcement coming up here very shortly on the Raiders and where they're going to be playing next year. So we'll act. I got a lot of information on that also. But when they make it official, we'll have interviews and we'll talk about it here. For Mike Mayock, I also believe that he's got to make up his mind on the players that are still on the roster. There are a bunch of guys that Gruden brought in on short-term contracts. If Gruden doesn't feel like they have the ability to go out and do a really big deal in free agency, might they save some of that money for the year after that when they come to Vegas and not go all in? It's all going to depend on what John Gruden just told us, on the ability in the trade market and free agency and to get the players that they like. From the 872 laborers, we welcome in. Here we go. Let's play his intro.
It's almost 9 o'clock. We've got to go to work.
I'm a working man. I got to pay my bills.
Got no job, living, yes, I'm working all the time.
I'm a working man.
Call me the working man.
Work.
Call me the working man.
I'm ready to get to work.
And now with your Raiders Stadium update, here's Tommy White.
Oh, great to talk to Tommy. And Tommy, you know I don't like fake news. The conspiracy theorists saying that snow and a little bit of the melting of the snow can slow you down. What's the update at the stadium?
Hey, JT, how you doing? Yeah, you know, I've been hearing that now for a couple of weeks. I don't know. Do they think concrete is made out of sugar? That it just melts with a little bit of water? All right? People need to remember that concrete gets harder from water, right? Hoover Dam, it took, 40, 50 years to get as hard as it did because of it being underwater. So, anyway, the weather don't slow us down. We're still on track. We got a little bit of snow. It's kind of funny. I heard the story about the snow, too, that the snow's going to slow us down. Listen, it snowed 30 inches every couple of days up in Viking Stadium. It didn't slow them down, right? So I don't even see any snow around anymore. Right?
Yeah, that's a great point. Hey, Tommy, my kids didn't have school today. We went to bed last night. They canceled school. I woke up this morning to walk the dog, and it's all melted in front of me. The roads were clean. I wanted to go upstairs and say, wake up. It's time to go to school.
Yeah, it's like, it's not those school days like we used to have back east when it would snow. 4 or 5 inches, and they shut the schools down, right?
So
you would have thought that maybe they would have canceled the snow. They canceled the school day the day before, but listen, this is Las Vegas, right? So
yeah.
It snows, and then it goes 70 degrees.
Tommy White joins us. Let us know also, seriously, the challenges of working with the weather, because you love your team, and they stretch out, they get there, they're prepared, there's lunch, they have the ability to take breaks. But when the weather is like this and where you are in the project, what's happened over the last couple of days as you've worked in and around the snow?
You know, JT, really, we had nobody. I mean, there was a couple of jobs outside the stadium, not even close to the stadium, where a couple of guys, wind up leaving, going home early. But the stadium was still going full force. You know, the guys that are usually working on the outside, they wind up moving them down to the inside just because of the weather. But, days like this don't slow us down. I mean, it really don't slow us down. I mean, so we might have been set back one day on the steel, but we can make that one day up just in an afternoon. Right? So, you know, I listen to a lot of these conspiracy guys out there talking about, you know, the concrete and the steel, and none of that is true. You know, our plan is to still open the stadium. Nothing's been set back. The stadium is still going to open, I believe, July 30th mm-hmm. of 2020 or 31st. I always like to say June, but, you know, we're still on track. And listen, the guys like it a little cold. You know, every once in a while you need a little cold weather, right? So,
Tommy White is our guest. Always great to have him on with a real stadium update, the real update, not speculation that you're hearing. Because, Tommy, people were wondering if, and it's if, because you go to hockey games with Mark Davis, you only know so much, but if they're talking about a potential new lease in Oakland for this year and potentially next year, that would be almost like an insurance clause. Everybody would have that. I'm sure the Vikings had that at Gopher Stadium, and other teams deal with that all the time as part of the paperwork.
Yeah, you know, I know they were talking about, you know, doing the additional year in Oakland. And listen, you know, Mark, he always wants the best for the Oakland fans. And you know, so I really think they're working on that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't think that'd be a better place to have, the last year of the Raiders play. It would be, you know, would be in their stadium. But, you know, hey, we'll see what happens in the next couple of days.
You've been going to a lot of hockey games. I see you behind Fleury, behind the glass. Team's been slumping a little bit. They get an opportunity to bounce back tonight at T-Mobile and give it to a team, a rivalry in the Jets. So you work hard. You work hard with your team, but it's nice when you can get out and go to T-Mobile and enjoy a hockey game, huh?
Yeah, I'll be at the hockey game tonight. And you know, on Valentine's Day, I got to get up there and spin the siren. That was great. I mean, the view from up there, from where that castle is up on top of T-Mobile Arena, is just, you know, it's outrageous view. And but listen, you know, it's a lot of fun going to the Golden Knights games, and it's that much more fun going to a Raiders game.
Absolutely. As we drive on the 15 or on Russell, what should we be looking at that you're telling your friends and everybody else, hey, this is what's happening next? When you look at the site, what's going to jump out here over the next month or two that we are not seeing now?
All right, so I would say when you're on the 15, probably heading south, you're probably going to start seeing the steel structure coming up. I don't mean on the side. I mean coming up over the top, so kind of like which would be part of the roof structure.
Mm-hmm.
We're starting to put drywall in already. So, you know, you start putting drywall into a building, you know you're getting up there, right? So
right.
We're starting to put some drywall in on the lower floors. And, I mean, it changes. The stadium changes weekly, you know. And once we get some color on that concrete, you're going to see a whole different look.
Excellent, Tommy. I know you've been buried. The weather pushing through, getting it done. You came on after Coach Gruden, like you said you would. We love your updates. We'll do it again next week, okay?
Thanks, JT. Go Raiders.
You got it. And go appreciate that. And also go Vegas Golden Knights. Tommy will be at the game tonight, and he's great with people. We're going to talk to Lights, Camera, Jackson next, the Emmy Award-winning film critic, the entertainment analyst. He's also a really unique guy. I met him. He was a fan of the show with Looney and I. We put him on as a kid, and I have him on every year. He's fantastic for the Academy Awards. You want to get ready for your Oscar pool? You're going to get in. What about Roma? I watched it. Best Picture? My favorite category, Best Supporting Actor. We can have now a multiple Oscar winner after Sunday. What about some of the movies that you would like? Is A Star Is Born getting robbed? Lady Gaga, does she have a chance to win? We're going to get into the Oscars coming up next and get you ready for Sunday. Everybody's ripping on the Oscars. No one's hosting it. Okay, I never miss the Oscars. I love movies. My wife and I go during the day at Red Rock. We go to Red Rock, we go in there, or we go to downtown Summerlin. I just got one problem. Stop eating like a cow in the movies. I didn't go to the movies to hear you chew and eat and open up your wrapper. Be quiet, I'm at the movies, will ya?
Do you write songs or anything?
I don't sing my own songs.
Why?
I just don't feel comfortable.
Why wouldn't you feel comfortable?
Almost every single person has told me they liked the way I sounded, but that they didn't like the way I look.
I think you're beautiful.
A Star Is Born, Bradley Cooper, Lady Gaga, up for several awards as we bring in my friend Jackson Murphy, the film critic. He's an entertainment guru. Good to talk to you, my friend, since I saw you and your dad in Vegas at the Palms recently. How are you?
We had a great time there. I'm doing great, JT. Glad to be on. Viva Las Vegas!
Yes. Hey, tell everybody your quick backstory, how you got discovered, especially the Regis Philbin connection.
Oh, yeah. I started reviewing movies when I was 7 years old. Two inspirations. One was Roger Ebert, the film critic. The other, Regis Philbin. I had been sending him letters for years and corresponding with him back and forth, and I finally got to meet him at Live when I was 10 years old in 08. We have stayed great friends ever since. He has been a true friend and inspiration to me as I've been in this entertainment industry ever since.
And you built a great reputation at a very young age. What is it like now when you show up in Hollywood for award season? I know you knock these movies down, you put them out quickly with your critiques, but you're really making a lot of friends in the industry, and I'm proud of you for that.
Well, thank you very much. I loved going to the Critics' Choice Awards again in January. I'm a member of the Broadcast Film Critics Association, so I vote for that, and I've attended the show now 7 times. I saw Amy Adams there again for the 4th time. It was great to chat with her again and meet all these great nominees, Regina King, Richard E. Grant. It is so cool.
All right, let's start at Best Supporting Actor, my favorite award growing up, for Joe Pesci to win, to be in that category. Some people say Best Actor is the ultimate. Okay, it's the same trophy. It's an Oscar. I think you can build a legacy by winning multiple Best Supporting Actors here, and there are some great nominees here. I tell you, I thought Sam Elliott was fantastic in A Star Is Born. Adam Driver had a big role in Black Klansman, and Sam Rockwell in Vice playing President Bush didn't get the buzz that I thought, but there is a heavy favorite in this category.
And that would be Mahershala Ali for Green Book. He would win his 2nd Academy Award in just 3 years in this category. He won in this category 2 years ago for Moonlight. The upset is Richard E. Grant for Can You Ever Forgive Me? I've heard a lot of Oscar voters maybe voting for him because he's been all over social media, just enveloped in this award season.
I just watched the season. It's still not over yet. A True Detective. How did Ali have the ability to do that? Long featured HBO show and then all these movies. Is he the new hardest working guy in Hollywood?
He's definitely one of them. He's in Alita Battle Angel as well, a movie I didn't love, but he is pretty good in it.
Let's move to Best Supporting Actress, and again, another early award. We'll jump in with Amy Adams, your friend in this movie from Vice. Emma Stone is also in this category, but everybody seems to be talking about Regina King, who almost got run over in an NBA basketball game the other night. Is she a lock to win this category?
Oh my gosh, that was so crazy to watch that. She is not a lock, and I'll tell you why. She won at the Golden Globes, she won at Critics' Choice, gave me a big hug right after she won, but she wasn't even nominated for the SAG Award, nor was she nominated for the BAFTA, the British Oscar. Rachel Weisz won the BAFTA, so she may come in for the surprise. I still think the momentum's here for Regina King, and look, Amy Adams has been nominated 6 times, and she will not win again on Sunday night.
Sad to hear. We're talking to the great Jackson Murphy, the film critic. Let's go to Best Actress, and I thought Lady, I know we're going to agree to disagree, I thought that Lady Gaga was brilliant because she pulled off the concert scenes, which she's supposed to, and then those private moments with Bradley Cooper. I thought she was great with her dad, Andrew Dice Clay. She was in the entire picture, which is a big deal with me. I want you in the entire movie, beginning to end. She was the star of that movie, but wow, award season has not been kind to her.
Yeah, well, I did think she was fantastic in A Star Is Born, and she did tie with Glenn Close at the Critics' Choice Awards for Best Actress. Look, I was there. I saw that moment happen, and the place erupted when they first announced Glenn Close, and then when Gaga won, everybody was cheering, and they want to see her win. She is the people's choice for Sunday night, but it's going to go to Glenn Close. The upset is Olivia Colman, but Glenn Close, a 7-time nominee, is finally going to win an Academy Award.
How good was the movie? How good was The Wife? I didn't see it. And most people have not. Was it must-see a film? What did you think?
a must-see for her and for Jonathan Pryce. They're actually a very good 1-2 punch. I saw this when it came out back in August and had a very limited run, just played in a couple hundred theaters back in the summertime. A good story, but outside of Glenn Close and Jonathan Pryce, there isn't a whole lot there to the wife.
Jackson Murphy is our guest. We continue on. We get to Best Actor, and this is a murderer's row. This is what I love about film. When you have five nominees, all this good. William Dafoe, Rami Malek, Viggo Mortensen, fantastic in The Green Book. Bradley Cooper, who I thought was brilliant in A Star Is Born. And Christian Bale, the former Batman in so many roles, losing the weight for The Machinist, what we've seen him do, and as he plays the Vice President Dick Cheney.
This is a powerhouse lineup. Bradley Cooper might win. Remember, he was nominated in acting categories 3 years in a row. Silver Linings Playbook, American Hustle, American Sniper. He lost them all. He got snubbed here for director, so votes could come in for him for actor. I still think it will be Rami Malek, who is incredible as Freddie Mercury in Bohemian Rhapsody.
Did Bohemian Rhapsody, for you, a film critic, seem like a little MTV popcorn movie? Did you like the edits? Did you like the pace? Clearly, we love the concert footage. It was fantastic. Give me more Freddie behind the scenes. I thought they did a nice job, but the supporting cast around, I just thought it was almost a movie that I would see on TV originally, but I watched it a second time last week, and it was better the second time I saw it.
Oh, you liked it better the second time. That's good. Yeah, I didn't love, outside of Rami Malek and the costumes, I didn't like a whole lot from Bohemian Rhapsody. I thought Mike Myers was miscast, the editing was wacky, but of course there was a lot of behind-the-scenes drama, so there is a little credit given there just to get a movie on the screen.
If Christian Bale wins, clearly it'll be a political moment for him. He took shots at Vice President Cheney before when he's won, and what does it do to Bale's legacy to get an Oscar in this role if he wins?
That's an interesting question. Yeah, I mean, I don't think he's going to do it, but if he does, it would be his second Academy Award because he did win for The Fighter several years ago. I think he'll still get roles. He's still a very popular actor, a very outspoken actor. He will get a bunch of roles in the future. The Academy liked Vice a lot, 8 nominations, including Picture. So it could happen on Sunday.
Spike Lee versus the director of Roma. When we look at Best Director and the nominees there, again, there are a lot of unfamiliar names here, but Adam McKay has done comedies in the past. He jumps in with Vice. Most people believe he probably won't win for direction here. Who do you believe will?
I believe it will be Alfonso Cuarón for Roma. He won a few years ago for Gravity. He will win again. If there's an upset, it will be Spike Lee, though I think Spike is the front runner, close to a lock in the adapted screenplay category for BlacKkKlansman.
Let's get to Best Picture, where I watched Roma, and look, I didn't see it in the theater. I saw it at home. It was beautiful to see, and the cinematography was amazing. And the culture that we're living in today, politically with Mexico, the Me Too movement, the way the women, as you know, were treated in this movie, and how people are talking about that in the real world. Look, I thought it was an excellent movie. In the past, I think it would have fell in the category and won Best Foreign Film. Explain to me the momentum before you give us the other nominees and selections for Roma.
Yeah, the momentum is exactly that. It is the political climate. It is the momentum involving women and the Me Too movement and people feeling this personal connection to this film. This is about Alfonso Cuarón's life, essentially, decades ago in Mexico. Netflix has campaigned so hard to try to get not only a nomination, but a win here for Best Picture. It would be groundbreaking for a streaming service to be able to do that, along with what this story is and what this movie is anyway. Roma is the front runner. Roma is my pick to win Best Picture.
Roma to win the Academy Award for Best Picture. Are you good with Black Panther in this category?
No. It doesn't deserve to be in there because it's just an all right movie. Same goes with Bohemian Rhapsody and Vice, which I didn't really like. They don't really belong in this category.
You know, Jackson, every once in a while, a movie, the movie A Star Is Born had a big effect on my wife. My wife saw it. She loved it. She loved the chemistry there. And I bought it for her. We watched it again, as I said last night. And I just think it's one of those pictures that pops up every once in a while and you have a connection with. The soundtrack was brilliant. There'll be an award there. I thought the acting was great. You mentioned the snub for Bradley Cooper for Best Director. Lady Gaga and Bradley Cooper could be connecting in real life. A lot of people in this country are pulling for them to become a couple. I think if they don't win and they lose to Roma, we could look back in years to come and say a classic like A Star Is Born didn't win.
Hey, I'm right there with you. I think this is the kind of movie that filmmakers of this generation are going to look to as inspiration. I could tell in watching it that Bradley Cooper is making a movie, and he loves the art of movies. He loves the art of cinema. I could tell in his shots, the edits, the way he was making scenes go. I could tell that. Obviously, he was in the Inside the Actor's Studio. We've seen all those videos online for many, many years. I could tell that in watching A Star Is Born. I think it will be inspiration for many years to come.
Black Klansman was an outstanding movie. Very intense. I don't think a lot of people caught it when it was first released. I'm hoping because of the nomination and the fact that it's building momentum here, people will go back if they missed it and look at it again. I thought it was an excellent film.
It's a good film with a breakthrough performance from Denzel's son, John David Washington, who was one of the snubs in the Best Director, in the Best Actor category. He could have gotten in. He got a SAG nomination and a Golden Globe nom. Didn't get one at the Academy Awards. He will probably get a nomination within the next two or three films that he does.
How good is Jackson Murphy? He joins us again on the Las Vegas Sports Network. The story, the fact that there is no host for the Academy Awards. You're on the ground. What do you hear in regards to how this is going to run? Are they just going to come out with Clooney and someone and go the nominees? Are the presenters going to be the stars because they'll have more latitude to spend time and entertain?
Maybe it'll be the presenters, or maybe it'll be the musical performances.
Yes.
Queen is going to open the show. Queen and Adam Lambert rocking things out because of Bohemian Rhapsody. Gaga and Cooper will be up on stage performing Shallow at some point during the show. Bette Midler is going to be on the show as well. It is going to be a music-heavy show, which is what the fans want. It's going to have all 24 categories, which is what the fans want. I wish there was a host, though. I wish there was somebody who could guide this along in a smooth fashion. I feel like it's going to be a little jagged on Sunday night.
Tell everyone where they can find you on social media.
All 24 picks are at lights-camera-jackson.com, Twitter at LCJReviews, and Instagram at lightscamjackson.
All the best. Best to your family. Great connecting with you again.
Thank you, JT. Have a great time watching the show Sunday night.
You got it. There he is, Jackson Murphy, a young man now at the college level, and he's a movie critic, and you just see him knock it all out. He knew every movie, boom, 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 every category, and he believes it. Roma. I watched Roma. I would highly recommend you see Roma. It's going to win the Academy Award for Best Picture. But there were some really uncomfortable moments in the movie. And when you see what happens to this woman, this young woman who has a child, I'm not going to ruin it, out of wedlock, and she's a maid in Mexico City, and the way she is treated in her everyday life, it is tough to watch. It really is. But an excellent movie. I thought A Star Is Born was better. I watched them both. What a week. Some weeks are better than others. This week, Denny Hamlin, Pete Rose, heavyweight champ Anthony Joshua, Gary Lawless in studio, and John Gruden today. Do you see what we're trying to do? All for our friends at Golden Entertainment, PT's. I was at lunch today, Bobby. Now I'm going to have an ice cold beverage afterwards. I only have 8 more hours of radio in the next 17. So I got my head down. I will see you back here on Monday. VGK, hashtag Vegas born. Let's start playing some winning hockey again, please. Let's take over the fortress. This is a rivalry game tonight. Get a W on the flagship of the Vegas Golden Knights.